Hi, I'm Logan Medish, your host of the High Caliber History Podcast, and on this episode of the show, we're going to talk about what to do if you happen to stumble upon an important piece of firearms history that also happens to be a highly regulated item. That's right, we're talking machine guns in the attic, so let's get into the episode. Generally speaking, firearms laws in the United States are better than those in the United Kingdom, except when it comes to museums. Now, we'll get to that, but first, a little bit of background information. In the United States, the National Firearms Act of 1934 put restrictions on things like suppressors, machine guns, short-barreled rifles, and short-barreled shotguns. In order to legally possess these items after that date, you had to register them with the federal government and pay a $200 tax for the privilege of having said item. Of course, not everyone did this. There were already thousands of those items in circulation, and people didn't like the idea of paying more money for something that they already owned. Like it or not, though, that was the law, and failure to abide by it was a felony. Now, some 34 years later, the Gun Control Act of 1968 offered a brief window for registration of those items in an effort to allow people who possess them, either knowingly or unknowingly, to get on the right side of the law, as it were, and prevent themselves from being a felon, having the arms confiscated, more than likely destroyed, and then ending up spending time in prison. Now, the 1968 amnesty period came about for a number of reasons, but one of which was the fact that a lot of GIs who came back from World War II and Korea brought back guns with them as war trophies, and a lot of the guns that they brought back were fully automatic machine guns. And so this was one of the ways to help them get right with Uncle Sam. Now, museums are often regarded as safe havens for all kinds of objects. After all, we didn't nickname the Smithsonian America's Attic for no reason, right? And this is why museums with firearms in their collections tend to get a lot of calls from folks about items they found in Granddad's footlocker in the attic. More often than not, the people realize that the firearm they found is a restricted item and they don't want to run afoul of the law. The first question they ask, of course, is, what do I do with it? And so the first question I ask is about the registration. And most of the time, the answer is that no, it's not registered. Or they ask, how do I find out if the gun is registered? Well, finding this out is a bit of a gamble. If you inquire about the status of the gun with the ATF and it happens to be on the list and is registered, then you're good to go. But if it turns out that it's not registered, well, then now the government knows that you have an illegal firearm. So then they ask, how do I register it? Well, sadly, they can't. Now what? Well, you can cut it up into pieces so that it is no longer an operable firearm, and you can retain the pieces, or you can donate the gun complete to a museum. People don't often want to see a piece of small arms history and their family history destroyed, so they generally opt to donate it to a museum. If only it were that simple. Under federal law, a museum in the United States may only take possession of a prohibited firearm if it's registered. Unless the museum is a government entity, whether that be state, local, or federal, it doesn't matter. Now, this means that a government-funded museum can use certain legal channels to legally obtain a previously unregistered prohibited firearm. A privately funded museum, however, is not able to do so. To clarify what I mean about government and private museums, here are a few examples. A federal government-run museum would be the Smithsonian Institution. A privately run museum would be the Cody Firearms Museum. The National Park Service Springfield Armory National Historic Site is federal government. The NRA's National Firearms Museum is a private museum. The J.M. Davis Arms and Historical Museum is a state government museum in Oklahoma. Now, while there are plenty of government museums out there to choose from when looking for a home for a recently discovered bring-back machine gun, it's rarely that simple. the firearm first must fit into their scope of collections. Then, if it does, do they need one for their collection? If they do, great. If they don't, do they have the space and resources necessary to take yet another item into their custody? The problem with bring back guns is that they're becoming more and more and more common. As the World War II, Korea, and Vietnam generations pass on, more of these objects are found under a layer of dust in the attic. Now, just because the Smithsonian or the Springfield Armory is legally able to take yet another machine gun, they quite often simply don't have the space to store what could very easily be more than a dozen examples of a certain firearm. I know, it seems kind of crazy. Who wouldn't want two dozen MG34s, right? Well, that's just not the case. So why don't the government museums accept the donation, which would then make the gun legal, and then turn around and donate it to a private museum that doesn't have an example of that particular gun in their collection? After all, giving it to the government facility made it legal, right? Well, again, if only it were that simple. Once the firearm comes into the collection of a government museum, it cannot leave. The gun is only legal because of the institution that holds it. That means if it went to the Cody Firearms Museum or the National Firearms Museum after having been in a government museum, it would once again be an illegal firearm. This is where it gets complicated, and actually where the United Kingdom comes out looking better than the United States when it comes to gun laws. Enter the Museum Firearms License. In the United Kingdom, a museum may apply for a firearms license that is specifically designed to allow them to take possession of what are known as Section 5 prohibited weapons. These prohibited weapons include just about every type of arm that an American could legally buy at their local gun dealer. And it also includes machine guns. Now, are you an average Joe who found an MG42 in your uncle's footlocker? No problem. Offer it to a museum with a museum firearms license. Are you a curator at a museum in the United Kingdom with a valid museum firearms license and you want to obtain a brand new example of an MP5? No problem. Work out a deal with the company and accession it into the collection. This brings us to another issue with U.S. gun laws. If the Cody Firearms Museum or the National Firearms Museum wanted to get a new MP5 for an exhibit, and trust me, both museums do, they simply can't do it because of the Hughes Amendment. The Hughes Amendment from 1986 prevents possession of machine guns made post-1986. Now, personally, as someone who could have retired by now if I had a dollar for every time someone contacted me when I worked at the National Firearms Museum and wanted to donate an unregistered machine gun and I've had to turn them down, then this is the one and only time you will ever hear me say, why, oh, why can't we be more like the United Kingdom? Specifically when it comes to the gun laws and their museum firearms license. When it comes to guns and museums, our cousins across the pond actually got it right for once. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the podcast. If you find yourself in a situation like the ones mentioned above, where a deceased relative and their attic contents turn out to be the resting place for one of the grand old ladies of no man's land, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I'd be happy to help you discuss your options for rehoming or retaining that piece of history. Thanks for tuning into this episode, and we'll see you right back here next week.